chapter 1 and verse 1. We preach from Joel once in a while, but not too often from this passage of Scripture, the first portion of the first chapter. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." So the word of the Lord is saying, don't just let this die with your generation. You have to tell your children, and they need to tell their children and their children another generation. "That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten." Now, I want you to get this. In verse 4, there's a progression. "The palmer worm hath, that which the palmer worm hath left," in other words, he was the first one on the scene, "hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten." Well, the reason that this is a four-stage process is because these worms, these locusts, these cankerworms, they all have an appetite for a different part of the plant. "Awake, ye drunkards, and weep." Now, they're not drunk like passed out from drinking. He's talking about you're asleep, you're inebriated. "Wake up and weep, howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of this new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath a cheek teeth. He hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree," or stripped the bark. "He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white." In other words, there's nothing left but some stripped branches. Amen. I want to talk to us about God's promise for restoration. Amen. Would you pray with me that God would speak to you as an individual and us collectively, that we would be good soil for the word of God? Lord Jesus, we've come to this house today, and I pray, God, that you would speak directly to us as individuals. God, that you would talk to us collectively as a body. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your name is glorified, and in the end, God, that people, amen, experience your restoration power in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Ghost minister, Lord, as you want to today. We surrender our heart and mind to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Makes a reference to old men. And you have to understand that prophetically, he is writing to Israel, yes. But prophetically, he is writing to the church. He is writing to us. We can garner a spiritual application from these prophetic declarations. He said, old men, dealing with men who have a past, who have experienced something in their past and in their life, dealing with a nation of Judah, and ultimately Israel. It's a symbolic gesture considering this writing to the church and of the church, and can also have a personal implication. And Joel deals with sins, the past regrets of a nation. He urges them to repent. And he said, tell your children of it. Your children should tell their children and see that their children tell another generation. So he's talking to the old men who have the ability to impart, who have the ability to implore their children to turn and to live right and to live right in the sight of God. Because he said there's a time coming when Judah would be invaded because they were drunk or defenseless or dull to what was happening at the time. Amen. And I believe the Lord's saying to us today, we sing a song, wake up, wake up, wake up, right? Well, we're not asleep, but you can be awake physically, but asleep spiritually. And the prophet here was imploring them to wake up, and you're dull, you're defenseless because you can't be shaken. There's a heaviness to your eyes, there's a dullness to your ears, and he says, you got to understand your time that you're living in and what's happening. Amen. And I'm just going to interject this, and I don't want to get sidetracked with it, but there's a lot of things happening in our world that we better be paying attention to. Amen. There's signs in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. Praise God. This eclipse tomorrow is a sign in the heavens. It's not just a phenomena. I believe the Lord is trying to get people to understand, amen, that there is something happening in our nature that is trying to call out to us that there's something happening in the spirit realm. Praise God. Amen. I'm getting sidetracked, but 7 years ago, there was an eclipse that came from the northwest to the southeast, and that eclipse passed over 7 cities named Salem, which was a declaration of peace. God was trying to get people to understand that he's a God of peace, but this time, they're going from the southwest to the northeast, and this time, it's passing over 7 cities named Nineveh. Which is, Nineveh had to repent. It's a sign of Jonah going to Nineveh, telling them they needed to repent. And to their credit, they repented. And so I believe the Lord's trying to tell this nation, wake up, you're drunk. I hope he's not talking to the church, but sometimes I wonder, is the church drunk? Are we inebriated with just going to church and not being the church? Are we inebriated with our good lifestyle and we don't understand that there's a God who is coming? Amen. And people need to repent. Amen. So the signs are what they are. The signs in Israel, the signs in Russia, the signs in Ukraine, the signs everywhere that we need to be paying attention to, they're there. Don't let us be drunk, Lord. The prophet Joel likened it to an invasion of locusts at various stages of development. In verse 4, we understand that he was talking about devastation and destruction. Damage and the loss was significant because of these 4 stages. Joel 1:4, that which the palmer worm hath left, amen, hath the locust eaten. Amen. That which the locust has left, the second one, amen. He says the cankerworm hath eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Amen. And so the Amplified says what the crawling locust left, the swarming locust left, the hopping locust hath eaten, and what the hopping locust hath left, the stripping locust hath eaten. It's interesting that he uses this analogy, these 4 stages of the locust, and all have an appetite for different things, an all-out attack on the vine, his fig tree, but in different areas. One eats the leaves. One has an appetite for the leaves while the other eats the fruit. And the third one goes after the branches. And while the last of these goes after the bark, which ultimately kills the tree. You can strip the leaves and the tree will come back. You can strip the fruit and the tree will come back. You can move some branches away, but the tree will live on. But if you get the bark stripped off, that tree will die. And so that's the ultimate thing that we need to consider here. And interestingly, he says in verse 6, they are strong because they are without number. He said their teeth are the teeth of a lion. Their cheek teeth are of a great lion. And I find this to be the great parallel to the enemy of our soul that we find in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5:8. Peter warned us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hello? He's not just after a few leaves. He's not just after a little fruit. He doesn't want to just strip away a couple branches. He's after the tree. He wants to devour. He wants to take away the protection. He wants to take you down to where nothing can live. Satan's never satisfied with just a few leaves or just some fruit. He wants to strip the bark so that the tree dies. Jesus would say in John 10:10, the thief or the locust comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and have that more abundantly. Praise God. For the next 8 verses, Joel tells them to repent. He implores them, repent, cry aloud, fast, pray. In other words, turn to God. No matter how long or how things look, no matter how bare the branches are, no matter how many leaves are gone, no matter how much bark the locusts have eaten, no matter how many mistakes you've made. Hello? Doesn't matter how bad you've been under attack. It doesn't matter what's missing. It doesn't matter what you've been through. The Lord is saying, hey, there is something that you need to understand. The disappointment of your past is not able to kill your tree if you will turn to God. That's what God was saying to them. Hey, I know the locusts have come. I know the army has come. I know he's pillaged your life. But if you'll turn to the one who can speak life back into your tree, put I'm going to help you. Aren't you thankful that no matter how many mistakes you've made or how many regrets you might have, how disappointing the past is, the secret is to turn to God and to look to him for a turnaround. Look how the Lord responded to them in Joel chapter 2 and verse 18. Joel chapter 2 and verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. Amen. I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, talking about these locusts, and I will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea or the utmost sea. Amen. Thank God that God says, I'm going to take over, and when I do, I'm going to start driving your enemy back until his back is against the sea. He has nowhere else to go. Listen to this. And his stink shall come up. I don't know about you, but I think he's talking about I'm going to destroy them till they're dead, and they're going to stink. Their stench is going to come up, and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, or they're coming back to life. The tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. He says, remember a few verses ago, they were all stripped down. The leaves were taken off. The fruit was eaten away. The branches were taken down and the bark was gone. But when I get done with this, amen, there's going to be leaves back on the tree. There's going to be fruit back on the branches. There's going to be healthy branches to support the, and there's going to be bark on the tree. I'm going to give you protection. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be the one that turns it around for you. Hallelujah. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad, ye then, children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore, hear this today, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the oh, it doesn't do any good to just start reading right here. You got to know what they've done. They've tried to strip you down. They've tried to take you out, but they couldn't because God came in and drove their back to the sea, and now they stink. And he says, hey, now things are beginning to bud. Now things are becoming more fruitful again. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. You'll know that I'm in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. What happened here? The Lord had pity or mercy. Amen. He answered their prayer. He said, I'll send corn and wine and oil. I'll take away the reproach. I'm going to drive back the enemy unto his hinder part as against the utmost sea. You do the math on that and you figure out what he was saying. I'm going to kick tail and take names. I'm going to drive him out of your life. I'm going to drive him out of your situation. And I'm going to show my mighty hand. Amen. Reminds me of that song. Amen. We sing once in a while. God is fighting for us. Pushing back the darkness. Pushing back the palmer worm, pushing back the canker worm, pushing back, amen, that thing that's tried to eat everything up. He said, I'll push him back, amen. Then he speaks to the land, amen, be glad and rejoice, fear not. The beast, fear not, beast, amen. The pastures are growing again. The tree is bearing fruit again. The fig is bearing figs again. The vine is bearing olives and grapes. Be glad, it's going to rain in double portion. I don't know about you, but this rain we've had this week, I told you, I don't know when I said it, but it's a good sign to see rain. I don't necessarily like the rain, but I'm going to tell you right now, come July and August when it's 95 and dry, amen, there's going to be something in the ground that grass and those trees and those flowers can draw on because of the rain. And I've got news for us today. The Lord is allowing some rain to come, amen, a spiritual downpour, because he's going to give growth. He's restoring things. Those trees need rain to draw, amen, water to sustain them, to put the new leaves back on. Amen. Rejoice in the fact that it's raining double portion. There's a revival coming, that God is putting trees back into a fruitful position. Former rain, latter rain together. The first was moderate. The second is going to be double portion. Record harvest is coming. I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, record harvest is coming. I'm not just hoping it's coming. This word tells me it's coming. This word tells me the Lord's going to restore. I'm thankful for the five that stood and clapped, but I'm telling you, I'm prophesying that the Lord is going to bring a harvest that we can't contain in this building, that building, or another building. He's bringing harvest that's innumerable. But why? Because that's the way God said it's going to be in the end. Amen. He told Peter and them to drop down their nets, and when they did, they got a great draught or enclosure of fishes, so much so that they couldn't handle everything that was coming in the net. It was sinking their ship. So what did they do? They called other people around and said, hey, you got to help us get these fish in. A record harvest coming. Why? He said the threshing floor will be full of wheat and the presses shall be full of wine and oil. I'm going to return to you the productivity that should have been all along because you turned back to me. And this is the message the Lord is trying to deliver us this morning. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent. You'll know I'm in your midst. My people shall never be ashamed. Amen. I'm going to ask that you would allow me to say this today. Amen. This is, I believe, a personal application to somebody in the house today. Amen. I know it's written about the church. I know it's written about Israel, then the church. But I believe that we can all stand here today and say that our lives have sometimes been attacked by these worms. These attacks from the enemy that try to take away your leaves, try to take away your fruit, try to break away your branches. I know I'm talking to somebody in the Holy Ghost today, because I've lived enough life to know that he's attacked my leaves, and he's attacked my fruit, and he's attacked my life, and he's attacked all of us. Not just happy to take away some fruit from your life, but his goal is to drive you so crazy, amen, that you'll give up and throw in the towel, and you'll say it's not worth it any longer. Amen. Every time I turn around, there's a new caterpillar coming. Every time I turn around, there's a new attack coming. But I've got news for you today, friend. The Lord says, you hang on, because I'm going to start driving some things back off of you. Amen. And I'm going to drive them back to the sea. They're going to have no place to go, because I am going to bring a harvest to you personally. I'm going to let leaves start coming back. I'm going to let fruitfulness start coming back. I'm going to let branches begin to grow where you thought they were broken off and lost. I will restore to you the years. I will restore to you. Somebody say that. Restore the years. He said, I'm going to restore the years. Now we're stepping out into God territory. Amen. I don't know about you. I've got some days I'd like to do over. I got some things I'd like to run back through and give it another try, knowing what I know now. There are some... There's some things we regret about our past. But I don't care how much you regret it, you can't go back and fix it. You can't go back and change it. You can't go back and undo it. But I'm reading this here today, and I believe the Lord is saying to us, you know what? That is true. You can't do anything about what's gone. But I am God, and I can do whatever I want to. If I choose to turn back the clock for you, guess what? I'm going to let you go back and run through it again and get it right this time. With God, there's no such thing as never having another chance. The Lord says, I'm going to give you another chance. You see, he says, I'm going to turn this thing around, and my people shall never be ashamed. And I don't know about you, but I thought once something was eaten, it was gone. But the Lord said, I'm going to reach into the mouth of that lion and pull out the years that you thought were eaten. I'm going to reach my hand into that devouring caterpillar and take it back. I'll snatch away any shame with it. That's what walking with God is all about. Amen. We're living our best life now. Man, I got to stay on track here. I lift up my eyes and start looking at people. I see testimony, 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 testimony. I know your story. I know where God brought you from. I know that when you came to the Lord, amen, there was a lot of stuff eaten away. But now I look at you and there's life. There's leaves. There's branches. There's fruit. There's things that have reappeared. There's bark back on the tree. He said it was stripped white. Have you ever seen a branch that was stripped down to nothing? All the bark was taken away. It's real white. He said, that's what your lives were like, and that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to strip everything away to where there's just a little tender bark there, a branch there, a root with no bark or no protection. I'm going to take that thing that looks like it's dying, and I'm going to put bark back on it, and I'm going to start letting things come back. I'm going to reach into the mouth of that lion and give you back some time. You see, it's kind of backwards for us to think that God would allow something that was dying to be brought back to life. Our life is just a vapor. We're only passing this way for a short time. But isn't it amazing that the Lord says, I'm going to give you back some time? He said, my word is true, and this concept is correct, that once something in the natural is taken away, it is usually gone forever. Once time is gone, you can never get it back. But this is what the Lord spoke to me as I was preparing. Just because you can't change it doesn't mean that I can't. Here's the analogy he gave me. He said, when you turn your clocks back or forward, you're manipulating time. He says it's nothing for you to add an hour back in. And he says, if I want to come along to you and turn your clock back, it's nothing for me. If I want to give you an hour back, I can give you an hour back. If I want to give you a season back, I can give you a season back. What the enemy ate, I can put it back on the clock. How many years did you waste before you surrendered all to Jesus? And how many years did you give away of your life, amen, that were eaten by the cankerworm of sin and rebellion? Amen. There's a long list of us here today that before we served God, we wasted a lot of time, energy, resources, money, whatever you want to call it. Amen. And we come to the Lord and we repent and we turn our hearts around and God says, hey, welcome to your new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he starts turning the years back and he starts allowing, amen, you to appreciate your family, to get perspective on life. And you begin to enjoy life. And God says, I'm going to give you life and life more abundantly. You may actually have less time, but what you're going to do in that time is going to be more productive than all the time you've ever spent before. That's how he adds years. That's how he adds time back on the clock. We've been forgiven. Our past is forgotten. It's under the blood. Wouldn't you love to get the years back and live them for the Lord? Some of us have been living for the Lord but still wasting time. Have you ever thought I could do and be so much farther along? I could have saved myself and my family a lot of pain. I could have avoided a lot of suffering. How blind I have been. How enslaved I was to the locust and the lion. How close I came to losing my soul, my sanity. I'll never be able to make up for all those wasted years. I find it interesting that Joel specifically addressed the old men, the seasoned, those with a long past or track record, if you will. Many times it's not until we've lived a while that we begin to look back and notice the missed opportunities and the misplaced priorities. So I speak to us old men, not old males, seasoned people, lived a while. God says, I'm going to give you this opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to let you understand that those misplaced priorities and missed opportunities, I'm going to run some of them back by you. If we're honest, we can notice the gaps. We can notice the gaps. Some of them are not necessarily sin, but times where we just drifted along. Marking time, going through the motions. The Lord says, I'm going to let you have that chance back. Not necessarily giving our best or our all. Just content to be a tree. In our walk with God, times where we could have prayed more, done more, given more, been more of a student of the Word, been more of a witness. In our marriages, our families. Can we see wasted hours sometimes accumulating into years? I'll ask you a question. How many of you all have a smartphone? Dumb phones. Yes, I do remember what life was like without them. Made it just fine. Probably got more done. I spend more time correcting talking text than I do actually texting. And sometimes one slips under the radar, so I apologize. Not necessarily responsible for that message. Try, but the volume, it kind of catches up with you. What was I saying? Smartphones. Oh, thank you. Took a minute, but I found it. Have you ever gotten one of those reports that flash up on your screen? You have spent this many hours time doing texting, emails, social media, whatever. Have you ever gotten that and said, what? Because you don't realize minute by minute or 10 minutes by 10 minutes, but that's all adding up to hours. Hours of time. This is a personal question. You don't have to wave your hand or answer, but take it home with you. How much time is on your sheet of social media? Things that don't matter. And I wonder if the Lord would let something pop up on our screen. Time we've spent with Him. Time we've spent witnessing. Time we spent worshiping, meditating, listening to His voice. And we wonder sometimes, I'm off on a rabbit trail here, but the Holy Ghost must have wanted to check us a little bit. We need to be very careful, because we're not careful, we can be letting some things be eaten up ourselves. Off of that. The closer to God you get, the more those wasted hours, weeks, and years mean to us. That's the bad news. I don't care if you serve God for 30 years or 30 days, we all have some regrets, things we wish we could do over, opportunities we could have back. The good news is God can restore all of our wasted years to us. There's a very important revelation in verse 25 of chapter 2. And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army that I sent among you. Notice he doesn't say, you will have to make up the years to God. That would be impossible. Amen. We can't create more time. But it says, I will make up the years to you. You can't repay me for one lost hour. But if you'll turn to me, I'll give them back to you. And I can make up for every loss. I can turn regrets into restoration. I can turn barrenness into bounty. I can turn stripped limbs into full fats of wine and oil. Threshing floors full of wheat and harvest. The Lord impressed me to minister very specifically today. First, He has not come here to shame anyone for your past, but to restore us and restore to us years and opportunities. Next, He wanted me to talk to us as old men or seasoned people, mature people, not necessarily in age in that area, but areas of old wounds, old worries, wasted time, wasted resources, wasted opportunities, and for us to acknowledge them and to ask God for His help in turning away from that thing. How many people spend a lot of their focus, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, fretting and regretting something in their past? I'm telling you that the Lord doesn't want us living like that. It's gone. You'll never get it back. But if you'll turn to Him, He says, I'm going to give you so much in your present that you won't have time to focus on your past. He's not asking us to make it up to Him. He's just saying, I can make it up to you. Anything and everything. A marriage, a family, finances, prayer life, studying of the Word, church attendance. Maybe you've been a person that's been deceptive or in some way somebody you wouldn't like to be. God says, I can turn that around. And I can make you a person that no one knows, because I'm going to restore to you the years and the opportunities. The Lord says, first, we must come to Him and turn away from that old person, that old event. And the Lord then said, we need to prophesy over the years that are to come. I want you to stand with me. I want us to pray. We're going to come to this altar in a minute. But I want to pray over us. I want to pray what the Lord has put on my heart to pray. And I want you to pray. And I want you to receive what God has come here to give today. And that is the restoration of years, the restoration of opportunities, and the restoration of new beginnings. Yes, there have been palmer worms and canker worms and caterpillars. There have been things that have tried to strip away leaves, the tender parts of our life, and the fruit, the valuable things of our life. But when it's all said and done and the enemy's had his run, God says, I am the one that's in control.